Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. You can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And please do remember the resource of the month, Gay Girl, Good God, the story of who I was and who God has always been, as told by Jackie Hill Perry. This is an incredible resource, and it could not be more timely, particularly in an age in which many are decoupling biological sex from gender. And this book is written in a poetic way, in a way that will capture your heart, but it will equip you, make you ready to always give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, and do it with gentleness and with respect. Again, the book available for your support. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Well, I want to start the broadcast today by talking about a YouTube question that I received from Philip. And this is a very interesting question to me because it strikes at the very heart of why I wrote my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. And by the way, that book, also available for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. At any rate, Philip says, Hank, I appreciate your insight, but I'm always disturbed by your line, truth matters, life matters more. I don't see that one should be weighted against the other, as though one has more value than the other. The Bible is truth. Jesus is truth. And that truth, says Philip, brings life. And so, says Philip, a better line might be, truth matters and truth brings life. Life without truth brings eternal damnation. Judas Iscariot did not have truth, and Jesus said it would have been better if he had never been born, meaning better that he never had life because he had no truth. An even better line might be, truth matters and truth brings abundant life. A very well thought out question, again on YouTube by Philip. And in reply, let me first say that I really appreciate these comments, even though Philip is equivocating a little bit on my use of the word life. At any rate, I think it's instructive to note that when I first heard that phrase, life matters more, from my dear brother in Christ, to whom I dedicate my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, I, too, instinctively recoiled, so I can identify with Philip. Why did I recoil? Well, because truth is, as many of you know, the very DNA of the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. So for decades, I personally have been providing answers on the Bible Answer Man broadcast because truth matters. I've been teaching Christians the art and science of biblical interpretation because truth matters. I've been countering counterfeit religions like Islam because truth matters. And now Elijah Wijaya was telling me that life mattered more. Well, the very notion sounded foreign. when it came from his lips, I still remember, this was a long time ago, but when it came from his lips, I found that very sentiment perhaps even offensive. So again, I'm saying all of that because I'm identifying with Philip's objection. I can personally relate to his question as he has posed it and the information he gave in the question. But that said, when I say life matters more, I'm hardly offering up a false dichotomy. Indeed, Jesus not only declared himself to be the way to the Father, but the truth and the life. I've often said that Vladimir Lossky said it best. Outside the truth kept by the whole church, personal experience would be deprived of all certainty, of all objectivity. It'd be a mingling of truth and falsehood, of reality and illusion. I say that because the teaching of the church would have no hold on souls if it did not, in some degree, express an inner experience of truth, which is granted in different measure to each one of the faithful. So what I'm referencing when I say life matters more is a realm that is largely inaccessible to our human apprehensions of truth. I'm talking about a mysterium that has to be experienced rather than explained. This life that matters more, is never a prohibition upon truth or upon knowledge. What I'm driving at is the transcending of knowledge. I'm driving at the transcending of all philosophical speculation. As such, I'm fond of quoting Lossky, who observed that the truth of the Christian worldview is always in the last resort a means. It's a unity of knowledge that subserves an end which transcends all knowledge. And this ultimate end is union with God, or deification. Let me further say this. If we relegate the Christian experience to a head full of knowledge, to mental assent to logical truth propositions, we are in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than a transformational relationship with the lover of our souls. A transaction that offers heaven and the avoidance of hell, yet a transaction that is strangely devoid of the transformational intimacy that Christ offers his apprentices right here and right now. I'm talking about the same thing that Philip is talking about, life that is life to the full, the very thing that Philip alludes to in his question. Not a mere head full of knowledge, but active participation in the kingdom of God, entrance into the divine life of the Holy Trinity, union with the Triadic One. Thus, truth matters. It truly, truly matters. But yet, I think I can rightly say that life matters more. Perhaps I should add a final thought. Philip notes that Judas Iscariot did not have truth, and Jesus said that it would have been better if he had never been born, meaning better that he never had life because he had no truth. Well, Philip, this is partially correct. Maybe it'd be too strong to say the skin of the truth stuffed with a lie, but it's partially correct. In reality, Judas had neither truth nor life, because there can be no life without truth, but above all, no truth without life, the very life that Christ came to give us more abundantly. And by the way, if you want to know more about this, as alluded to just a few moments ago, I wrote a book titled Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life. In essence, truth matters, life matters more, when I wrote it, became Two books in one, because Truth Matters Part 1 explicates the essentials of the Christian faith in memorable fashion, why to equip readers to communicate Christian truth. But Part 2 is the part in which I explain why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, and that is union with God. Simply put, the map is not the territory. The menu is not the meal, and we cheat ourselves of unadulterated union with Christ when we elevate the message above the messenger. If you've suspected that there's more to the Christian life than you're presently experiencing, prepare when you read this book to discover the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. We are coming up to station break, and I want to pick up on this theme when we come back from the break, because I think it's transcendently important, so important that I spent years writing a book about it. We'll be right back.
When the psalmist invited us to come and hear, he was inviting us to enjoy the goodness of God with him. Jackie Hill Perry believes that her book, Gay Girl, Good God, is no different. Every word, sentence, and paragraph are an explanation of how good God has been to her. The same God who did something wonderful to the soul of the psalmist, and the same God who did an equally beautiful thing to her soul, He is, even now, more than able to do the same for you and every soul alive. To receive your copy of Gay Girl, Good God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
Jackie Hill Perry used to be a lesbian. In Gay Girl, Good God, she shares her story of embracing masculinity and homosexuality with every fiber of her being. She knew the Christian worldview on sexual identity, but how was she supposed to stop loving women when homosexuality felt more natural to her than heterosexuality ever could? Ultimately, Jackie came face to face with what it meant to be made new. God broke in and turned her heart toward Him right in her own bedroom through the light of His gospel. Read Gay Girl, Good God in order to understand. Read in order to hope. Or read in order, like Jackie, to be made new. To receive your copy of Gay Girl, Good God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Just before the break, I mentioned that my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, is composed of two parts. The first deals with truth, the second with life. And I'd like to expand on that a little bit, because as I alluded to, this is a transcendently important subject. If truth matters, and it most certainly does, the church must take the task of Christian education seriously. Not just edutain, but educate. Equip our children and their children to always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks them to give a reason for the hope that they have. And then, of course, to teach them to do that with gentleness and respect, or in the words of the Apostle Paul, let your conversation always be full of grace, be seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. I, like many in the current generation, walked away from the faith during my teenage years. Why? Because I was hungry for answers, but I found little or no relief within the context of my church or the context of my Christian school. So let me state the obvious. There are myriad professors and cultural pundits who are ready to steal away the faith of your progeny, ready to tell them that physical and biological science has made the existence of God less probable than the existence of Santa Claus. So because truth matters, we have to answer questions, be ready always to give an answer, but it is also critical to continue to educate ourselves and to educate our children in the art and science of biblical interpretation. And this is because multitudes today distrust the message of the Bible because they mistake its meaning. And unfortunately, this is not just the world. This is true within the church itself. So the art and science of biblical interpretation is a very important discipline to embrace, to immerse yourself in, so that the Bible will open up to you like a fragrant rose. There's a third point in the first part of the book in which I deal with truth, and that is because truth matters, the church must also prepare herself to counter such counterfeit religions as Islam. And yet the church as a whole has been notably slow not only to meet this challenge, but even to recognize it as a challenge. But as I said in the first part of the broadcast today, it's hardly sufficient to be intellectually equipped. It is critical that the body of Christ is internally equipped for what you might well call an anti-Judeo-Christian moment. And what that means is that the church must be energized for its mission, energized by a power that is in it but not of it. The goal is not for saved humanity to remain in the port of salvation. It's to continue on a journey whose sole goal is union with God. All attempts to understand the Christian ethic from a solely rational perspective remain partial and inadequate. So while the life that matters more is not a prohibition upon knowledge, it is the transcending of knowledge. So when the disciples saw the face of Jesus shining like the sun, they came face to face with the poverty of their own petrified paradigms, the notion that they might be transfigured like unto their teacher was as remote to Peter, James, and John as, well, as E equals MC squared is to a consensus scientist prior to the genius of Albert Einstein. As has been well said, we're not merely saved from sin, we're saved for sonship, to be divinely adopted sons and daughters of God. You see, God became incarnate in the form of humanity, that humanity might rise up to union with the divine. And that is the very purpose for which God created us, that we may become partakers of the divine nature in order that we may enter into eternity and that we may appear like unto him, being deified by that grace out of which all things that exist have come and which brings into existence everything that before had no existence. So as I highlight in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, the church is the primary sphere within which union with God takes place in the present life, the union that is going to be consummated in the life to come after the resurrection of the dead. It's the reincarnation of Eden. It's the place in which you and I may access the tree of life replete with its Eucharistic bounty, a bounty by which our nature is unified with Christ, and I might also add, with other Christians or other Christians. The Eucharist is thus the central mystery of the church. It's the chief sacrament of the body of Christ. I say that because by it we are changed from human multiplicity to one body in Christ. By it, divine life flows into us. It penetrates the fabric of our humanity. By it, the future life is infused into the present life. It's blended with it so that our fallen humanity may be transformed into the glorified humanity of the new Adam. Of course, I'm talking about Jesus Christ. And as such, the Eucharist has been christened appropriately, the medicine of immortality and the antidote against death, enabling us to live forever in Jesus Christ. The church is simultaneously, and I think this is important to add, it is a spiritual gymnasium wherein we exercise living disciplines, disciplines that become the basis for our life and living. Let me mention just one of them, fasting. Fasting satisfies the spirit. It's strong medicine for the body as well. The discipline of fasting restores balance. It restores self-control. Churches have majored on teaching right things about Christ, but have often neglected to become his imitators. Millions profess faith in the death of Christ, but have little concept of the power inherent in his life. Well, I should probably also underscore the direct link between the oneness of Christians after the image of the Trinity and the missionary dimension of the church, something that the church is failing largely at. But a global church that's fused together around the essentials of the historic Christian faith becomes a transformational repository of unlimited, unpolluted energy that can transform the world, the millions that have as yet never heard the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever the reality respecting fusion science, spiritual fusion is the greatest antidote to the cultural captivity of the contemporary church. Think about it. Were the authentic church to embrace fusion in place of fission and division, you and I may as yet experience the authentic Christian life. We might as yet experience the manifestation of the uncreated, inexhaustible energy supply that alone is sufficient to save the world. Such is the energy manifested by Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, Remember, his face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. A bright cloud enveloped Peter, James, and John. That energy that Paul invoked when he spoke of being energized by all his energy, which so powerfully energizes me, is the energy by which we can transform the world. This is the energy by which we are transformed. And as the energy that alone can unite the church, transform the world, that is what it means to discover the unexpected beauty of the authentic Christian life. So yes, truth matters, but life matters more. If I sound passionate about all of this, it is because this is the very thing that has changed my life, the very thing that allowed me to transcend over 3 years in a battle with stage 4 mantle cell lymphoma. I've written about this again in Truth Matters, Life Matters More. It is available for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Check it out on the web at equip.org. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to being back with you again next time with more.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you the book, Gay Girl, Good God by Jackie Hill Perry. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
Jackie Hill Perry used to be a lesbian. In Gay Girl, Good God, she shares her story of embracing masculinity and homosexuality with every fiber of her being. She knew the Christian worldview on sexual identity, but how was she supposed to stop loving women when homosexuality felt more natural to her than heterosexuality ever could? Ultimately, Jackie came face to face with what it meant to be made new. God broke in and turned her heart toward him, right in her own bedroom through the light of his gospel. Read Gay Girl, Good God in order to understand. Read in order to hope. Or read in order, like Jackie, to be made new. To receive your copy of Gay Girl, Good God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.